Well, as we've been reporting, millions in the Middle East have been caught in the crosshairs of Iran's ballistic missile attacks. That includes more than 1,000 Afghan refugees who thought they were headed to the U.S. before the Trump administration froze the refugee program last year.
Since then, they've been stranded on an unused military base in Qatar. More than half of them are women and children. Now, having fled one war, they're trapped in another. Our special correspondent, Layla Milana Allen, reports from Qatar.
Wailing sirens signal another incoming volley of missiles launched by Iran on the small Gulf nation of Qatar. My phone lights up with the trembling voice of a young teenager.
We were eating dinner when suddenly we heard missiles exploding above our camp. I'm terrified right now. I'm shaking. My heart's beating so fast, I don't know what to do.
The family has nowhere to run or hide. They're trapped between Iran and the U.S. base that's become the principal target of Iran's attacks here.
My brother, he was outside, he was playing. My mom went to get him, but he was screaming. He said he saw missiles exploding.
At Camp Asalia, near the Al Udeid Air Base, the largest U.S. base in the Middle East, 1,100 Afghan refugees have languished for more than a year. Until last week, their main concern was frustration as they waited to start the new lives they were promised in the United States. Now, trapped in the middle of America's war with Iran, they're just praying they'll get out alive.
Since the start of the war until now, everyone's been living in confusion, stress, and fear. Children asking their mothers, "Mom, am I gonna die now?"
The camp's occupants have begged State Department staff to evacuate them, but they've been told they're safe and can't be moved elsewhere for now. A former military camp in the Qatari desert, As-Sayaliya, was meant to be a brief stop for Afghans being processed for U.S. visas after the United States pulled out of Afghanistan in 2021, which left Afghans who'd helped U.S. forces throughout the 21-year war in danger of Taliban reprisals. But in January last year, President Trump brought refugee processing to a halt. Since then, As-Sayaliya's residents, 700 of whom have already been fully vetted and approved, have been trapped here in limbo. The State Department confirmed it plans to close the camp by the end of March, but hasn't disclosed where it will move the refugees. The NewsHour spoke with multiple residents in the camp. "We're protecting their identities because they say State Department staff have threatened to block phone and internet access and even deport them if they speak out about their plight. Calling in secret late at night, one young man told us they've spent days hiding inside the temporary containing units where they sleep, which provide little protection from a missile strike.
It's like a prison. We can't go outside. And we don't have any shelter. Last night, Iran sent some drones behind the camp. They defended them with missiles from Al Udeid. We saw it. It was very scary."
Last week, he says one missile section fell on the bedroom of several young children.
"They were in the cafeteria. If the family were in the bedroom, I don't think they would have survived."
How do you feel that Americans are being evacuated and you can't get to safety?
"We feel like we've been forgotten. And now the Secretary of State is advising the citizens of the United States to leave the Gulf region. And what about us? You brought us here. Now what can we do?"
And there are a lot of kids in the camp. Tell me what's happening with them.
"I have a sister. I have brothers. They're always scared. All night they don't sleep. They're crying. They ask who will help us. We tell them God will help us, but no one here wants to help us."
Residents told the NewsHour the panic is so intense that pregnant mothers in the camp fear they'll suffer miscarriages. Some children have stopped eating. Several families tried to escape to safety and were turned back by camp guards. Others report being offered financial assistance if they agree to return to Afghanistan voluntarily. Already traumatized by the war back home and now reliving what they hoped they'd escaped, their mental and physical health is fast deteriorating.
"We're going to talk about a few things we talked about yesterday. I think we can probably allay some of your fears."
Sean Van Diver runs Afghan EVAC, a group fighting to bring Afghans who worked with the United States during the war to the U.S.
"There are 150 immediate family of active duty U.S. military service members. So it's not outside the realm of possibility that these service members are fighting this war in Iran while missile fragments and debris are falling on the heads of their family members stuck in this camp."
Van Diver hopes the residents he supports won't be silenced by threats from camp staff. He's now taking the fight to Washington and is prepared to report the case to the United Nations.
"They can't lie to these kids or tell them that they might have Qatari police show up and arrest them, and then deport them back to Afghanistan and have the camp's Wi-Fi cut.
And none of that's true.
None of that is true. They can't do that. And to increase the psychological anxiety that's already being experienced by these folks at the camp, just because Washington doesn't want this terrible story out there. This is a United States government issue, and it's stubbornness from the Trump administration. They know that these people are stuck there. Their blood will be on their hands if they die.
Ehsan Jamshidi is one of the American soldiers with family stuck at the camp. He came to the U.S. from Afghanistan at 5 years old, became a citizen, and later joined the Marine Corps.
I was like, you know what, this is my opportunity to give back to the country that gave to me and my family.
His older brother Masood stayed in Afghanistan, later working as security for the U.S. consulate in Herat, protecting American diplomats, even after a deadly Taliban attack killed several of his colleagues. His bravery qualified him and his kids to join the rest of the family in the U.S. after being separated for 20 years. But just days before they were due to travel last year, the rules changed and they were stranded in Qatar.
I'm speaking out now before it's too late. My brother is in danger, and I do not want to see my nieces and nephews go through this. They're pretty much scared to death, and they seem to not be able to get away from war, and it's just that heartbreaking to see.
Ehsan says he feels let down as a Marine and as an American.
Serving my country was a great honor, and then I see my brother in Qatar, and he's not able to get out, and he's being treated almost like his sacrifice and his service to the United States government did not matter.
It's a feeling every soul in the camp shares. Forgotten, abandoned, betrayed.
It feels like we are not human, like our lives don't matter. We're in danger, and we don't know what will happen an hour from now.
With hopes of imminent rescue fading, all they can do is wait in fear. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Leila Malana Allen in Doha, Qatar.